We're going to look at a subject today you might not have ever thought about going through the book of James, and we're just going to look at one verse today, and that's verse 12 of James chapter 5, and you need to listen carefully today and get what's being said here, because so many of us are guilty of what we're going to look at today. So James chapter 5 verse 12 reads, "Above all, my brothers, do not swear, nor by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned." Now this verse speaks directly to the way we feel pressured sometimes to embellish certain things, to say certain things, to be dramatic in certain things, to try to get people to feel a certain way about us. So we're going to look at this subject. What does it mean to not swear by heaven, earth, or any other thing? First of all, what it does not mean, it's not condemning taking solemn vows. We see this all through Scripture. We even see it in our courtroom. Swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Not talking about marriage vows. That's not what James has in mind here, covenants that were made to God. Neither is he talking about profanity. But before you go out and tell somebody where they can go, you need to understand that it certainly has a situation on your testimony. Profanity can make a Christian seem undisciplined, untrustworthy, no difference whatsoever. You're a little warm. I started to change my subject to hell, but I'm glad he's going to change that. Whew. I thought maybe I was going through some stuff. I thought the sympathy toward Nancy's thermostat doing all this. Anyway, and that's why James tells us in 3:10, don't let out of the same mouth come blessings and cursing. So what is James' point in this one verse here? It's on everyday speech, making sure our regular conversations are marked by honesty and that we don't feel like we're compelled to give it extra weight. We don't feel like we have to say certain things to try to help it give some success in what we're saying. He's talking about the foolishness of making rash statements, swearing by something. You're going to do something. Look at the things that you want people to think about you. I'm standing for something, boasting about something. A classic example of this is Peter. Remember on the night of the betrayal of Jesus, called the Last Supper, Jesus had told Peter that he was going to face some severe testing, and it was going to be something that would be very difficult for him to stand. And Peter said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Don't come to me that way." Look what he says in Luke 22:33. Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you, even to die with you." Rash statement. But Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me." So Peter shouldn't have sworn that way. It was a premature, false bravado, trying to make himself look better. He was making a claim that he could not back up. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. The word maybe, that's why the title of this sermon, I've entitled it, "The Seduction of Maybe." Maybe is one of the most deceptively comfortable words in our vocabulary. Maybe. Very comfortable. Why? It feels harmless, doesn't it? When we say maybe, that feels harmless. It feels flexible, even polite. But spiritually and practically, maybe can become a trap. And what I mean by that is maybe feels safe. It feels like it protects us from commitment. You know, we can just say maybe. Saying yes requires responsibility. Saying no requires courage. But saying maybe requires nothing. I say we haven't thought about this before, but it leaves the door just in case. Just in case. What do you mean? In case I don't feel like it, I change my mind. In case I want to change something later. I don't want to do any that what is being asked of me to do. In case I don't want to be held accountable. If I say yes or no, I'm accountable. But maybe gives me some room there. Someone said maybe it's a soft pillow we lay our head on. But Jesus didn't cause us to lay our head on the pillow. He calls us to stand. So the first thing is rash statements. Just making rash statements, not considering the weight of that or the commitment of that statement. Notice on your outline, the second application is character. Our words should mean something. When we say something, it should mean something, and it really doesn't need anything else behind it to count. Let me explain. We shouldn't have to say, I'm telling you the truth, I swear to God. I promise I'll be there, cross my heart, hope to die. I didn't do it, I'll swear on a stack of Bibles. James tells us we shouldn't have to add things to that. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Don't swear by heaven or by earth or anything else, because we're to be people of integrity. People should be able to say about us, if he said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. If she said she'll be here, she will be here. Something has been lost in our culture. Remember before World War II, you could give a handshake, and that was a commitment. Let's shake on it. That was the word. But that changed. It lost its meaning. And so therefore we have written contracts. But now written contracts are not even held up. People look for loopholes. They change things from the, they break them from the right and from the left. It doesn't mean anything. It's a legal tactic now, a maneuver to get out of things. Why? Because it means we have no character. So I want us to spend the rest of our time on the application of maybe, the seduction of maybe. And for many of us, this is the reason I'm spending some time here, because it's the one thing that we deal with. Question, isn't maybe the territory between yes and no? It's maybe. Want to go to a movie tonight? Maybe. You want to grab lunch? You want to take the preacher out to lunch? No. You want to join me for Christmas? Maybe. We like that word because it does not force us to commit to a yes or a no. Someone invites us to do something we really don't want to do. You've all been there. Don't look at me like you got it together. That you really don't want to do. So you say what? Maybe. Maybe. You ever invited someone to church and they said maybe? You can, 9 out of 10, they're not coming. It's a way we don't have to commit. We can change our thinking on a lot of things and change our mind. To show you how deceptive maybe is, we feel like we've really said something of substance when we say maybe. But we haven't. In truth, maybe is no man's land. Doesn't mean a lot. It's empty. It's without meaning. It's without definition. Maybe. So let's expose it. We're going to play a little game here, and let's expose it in a real life situation and see how well important things in life maybe works. Ready? Doc, am I pregnant? Maybe. Get you another doctor. Will you marry me? Maybe. Mr. Foreman, has a jury reached a verdict? Maybe. Ump, was he safe? Maybe. I mean, think about it. Do you love me? Maybe. Do these jeans make me look fat? Stay away from that one. By all means, do not say maybe. Do you see how bad an answer that is? Stick with me. Maybe is a situation that when things really matter in life, they're really important, is no good. James tells us that the maybe life is no life at all. If you live your life and constantly say maybe in the important things of life, you're missing out so much. You need to have your yes be yes, your no be no. But let me give you a matter here that's much more serious and much more dangerous than what we just went over. Ready? Do you believe in God? Maybe. Are you right with God? Maybe. Are you ready to follow Christ wholeheartedly? Maybe. Are you ready to commit to the church, realizing that Jesus loved the church, gave himself for it, and he says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Are you ready to make that commitment? Maybe. If you die today, are you confident that you would go to heaven? Maybe. You see, that is so, so risky and dangerous. And I want to tell you something. Jesus was all over this. All over it. He knew that answering maybe to life's ultimate question was no answer at all. He constantly challenged people. Look in Luke 9:62. Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ did not allow people to sit comfortably in uncertainty or indecision. Over and over again, Jesus calls his followers to make a choice. He challenges, stop living on the fence. He warned against indecisive faith. He emphasized that true commitment requires wholehearted response. So don't you think we need to look at looking beyond maybe right now? Don't you think we need to move beyond maybe? I'm glad you said yes. One of the clearest, some of you didn't, one of the clearest challenges to this in the entire Bible, it is what is called the Joshua Challenge. The Joshua Challenge. Let me walk through it here and quickly tell you what I mean, the setting of it. Joshua was the person who succeeded who? Moses. Moses had led the people out of Egyptian bondage. Now Moses has coming to the end of his life, and so Joshua is appointed leader. He's an amazing leader, man. He led them out of the into the promised land and led them from victory unto victory. But now Joshua is coming to the end of his life. And so he calls the people of Israel together. And he calls them to a place called Shechem, which was in the center of Israel. It was a sacred place full of so much meaning and significance, which is why Joshua called them to Shechem. He also brought the Ark of the Covenant with him. And that Ark was associated with God's power, God's presence. The Ark of the Covenant was one of the most sacred objects in Israel's worship. It was kept in the temple in the Holy of Holies. It was the earthly room in the old temple of God. It was symbolic of God's presence. So Joshua gathers these people into Shechem, not to only recount the victories of the past, but watch this, to challenge them with a choice that would define their future. And that's what I'm going to do today. Thank God for the past. Thank God for the blessings. Thank God for the things he's given us. But if we are living in the land of maybe, the future is not very bright for any of us to have God's power, God's presence, and God's peace. So he gathers the people together, and he wanted them to realize that living in the land of promise was a gift. And it was a gift, right? But it was without doubt a time of responsibility. They needed to decide, and Joshua puts their nose in it, they must decide who they're going to serve. Who are you going to serve? This was no mere gathering place. Joshua called the people together for the most important thing he could imagine. And he tells them that they're standing before God, Ark of the Covenant. You're in the presence of God himself. But to stand for what and do what? once the people were gathered together, what was the purpose of that? Well, he begins, Joshua begins, by recalling the things about Abraham, about Moses, the Exodus of Egypt, about being led through the Red Sea and across the Jordan River and into the land of promise. So he's telling them those things. Victorious past, awesome past. And through it all, he reminds them that they're in the promised land now, not because of who they are, but because of who God is. God has blessed them. God has led them. They were brought out of bondage. They have been miraculously preserved in the years in the wilderness. They had come against enemies that wanted to destroy them, yet they defeated every army. He's telling that. Remember what God has done for us. You now have towns. You have cities. You have a nation. But don't forget. Don't forget, you're truly in a land flowing with milk and honey, but you must never forget something. All these blessings served as a testimony of God's faithfulness and power. He's saying, listen, you have what you have because of the power, purpose, and plan of God. The gracious hand of the Lord guided them, provided for them every step of the way. Can you say amen to that to your own life? He's guided you every step of the way. So Joshua wanted the people to recognize that their current prosperity was rooted in God's unwavering commitment to his promises. So he reminded of that. You got it? All those things I just said, he calls them together, he reminds them of that. Now he's going to tell them what they're assembled to do. We've been blessed in the past. What now are we assembled to do? Look at Joshua 24, 14, 15. So, in light of all that we just went over, all that God has done for us, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Fear the Lord, serve him wholeheartedly. This was a pivotal moment in Israel's history. It was not about recalling the past only. It was about shaping the future. You can apply this to your individual life, to your church life, to anything that is a God thing. That, yes, God has blessed me in the past, but what about the future? So Joshua tells them, look what he tells them. He says, put away forever the idols your ancestors worshiped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord only. Joshua challenged them with a clear choice. And that is this: will you serve the Lord wholeheartedly, or will you turn aside to other gods? Will you serve the Lord or turn to other gods? And you say, well, we don't have other gods. You're going to worship something. If you don't worship God wholeheartedly, you're going to worship something. It may be yourself. It may be money. It may be prosperity. But you're going to worship. An idol is anything that takes your worship away from the true and living God. That's why he says, have no other gods before me, and put it on something else. But he says, you got to choose. You've got to make a choice. There are no maybes. No maybes in this. He lays before them the seriousness of their decision. And it is serious. Consider who you're going to serve. You know what he's calling for? A public declaration of faith and an allegiance to God. There should be no doubt. But look what he then says in verse 15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, serve him wholeheartedly, then choose today whom you will serve. If you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But, as for me and my family, my house, we will serve the Lord. Wow. See what he did? He called everybody, called them together before the Lord, Ark of the Covenant, symbolic presence of God, God's presence there. And he says, if you don't want to say yes, fine, say no. But you must choose. I know this is not easy. And I hope the Holy Spirit's directing this into our hearts. I must choose whom I'm going to serve. If God is God, serve him. If he's not, you're wasting your time here. You're wasting your time of giving of your resources. You're wasting your time of But if he is God, and he has given you the promises of God, then serve him. Serve him. Are you going to serve God? If you leave here today and I ask you, are you going to serve God? And you say, maybe, I'm going to slap you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It will be flesh if I just slapped you, of course. Look what he's saying. Choose. How did they respond? How did they respond? Verse 16. The people answered, we'd never forsake God, never. We'd never leave God to worship other gods. Boy, isn't that awesome? Oh, I pray that that's our choice today. They acknowledge God is our God. We're going to worship God. He's our God. And there it was, clear and a resounding yes, not a maybe. Good. No more maybes. When it comes to the ultimate things in life, get the maybes out of your life. Joshua said, so you've chosen God for yourself to worship him. And they said, yes, we have, and we will do what he says. You know, as youth say today, and I'm probably a hip pastor, but I heard them talking the other day, and they said, are you picking up on what I'm putting down? Y'all don't even know what that means. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, if I said groovy, you'd know what that one is. So, picture yourself. This is what I want you to do. Picture yourself. Here we are at Shechem. We're here. And the leader stands up, and he talks about how God has blessed your life in the past, how God has taken us from victory to victory, how he's never left us nor forsaken us. And the leader says, I tell you what, I am going to follow the Lord. I will do it. I will do it. But are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? If you're a Christian, you've been blessed beyond measure. And in light of all that God has done for us, I think about sometimes my life. I was dead in sin. I was in bondage to sin. I was without hope, without God. And God demonstrated his love for me while I was yet sinner. He died for me. He set me free. And since that time, he has provided care and provision for me every step of the way. He's given me his power. He's given me his purpose. He's given me his peace, which surpassed all understanding. In light of that, we're still here. We're still at Shechem. He's still speaking. And he says, in light of that, choose today who you're going to serve. Choose today who you're going to serve. If you knew the days of saying maybe were over, today it's over, would you say yes? Or would you say no? If you're still saying, I'm not sure of all that, maybe, oh my. You've lost the power of this sermon through the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Have you been living in a maybe life? Holy Spirit, speak to us. But today, you're not going to live that way anymore. There are no more maybes, no more maybes. Today's the day. You're standing before God more assured than the Ark of the Covenant. And this is your opportunity to answer him. I pray it's yes. That's your prayer. If it is, then silently, right where you are, in the quietness of your heart, pray the word yes, yes to him. Tell him yes. Jesus, no more maybes. No more maybes. Yes. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You see, Joshua didn't call the people to merely admire God. He called them to choose him, to follow him, to serve him with sincerity and truth. And you know what? That same call is before us right now. Today, you may be standing at your own crossroads. Maybe God is stirring your heart. Maybe He's been calling you to come home, to return to Him, to walk closer to Him, to trust Him. Joshua declared, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What will your response be today? One thing you must not say is maybe. If you've drifted, He invites you back. If you're burdened down, He invites you to lay it down. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, He invites you to come to Him today. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You come just as you are. We sing that song many times here. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thou blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." So as we sing, may you say in your heart, "Lord, today, today I choose you. Not only with my lips, but also with my life. We thank you." Father, thank you for showing us today that maybe, maybe is not a good answer to the things that really matter in life. Help us to see that our yes to you is a yes to your power, to your purpose, to your presence for every day of our lives. Saying yes to you is saying yes to the abundant life you promised. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.